Today's scripture is taken from the second letter of Timothy, chapter 2, verses 8 to 15. Remember, Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, descended from David. This is my gospel, for which I am suffering even to the point of being chained like a criminal. But God's word is not chained. Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they too may obtain the salvation that is in Jesus Christ with eternal glory. Here is a trustworthy saying. If we died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we disown him, he will also disown us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot disown himself. Keep reminding God's people of these things. Warn them before God against quarreling about words. It is of no value and only ruins those who listen. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth, the word of God for the people of God.
I wonder if you'd bow your heads and pray for me and with me for just a moment. Holy and gracious God, it is good to be here today. It is good to sing the songs of praise and to be reminded of who you are. And I pray now, God, for this sermon that you would take the words that I've put together and make them yours and speak through them and in them and around them so that together we might come to know who you are and be filled with you. And this I pray in the name of Christ. Amen. So I'm hesitant to show you my first picture because at 8 o'clock they looked at me with blank faces, but here it is. Do you know who this is? Thor. Oh, thank you so much. Seriously, at 8 o'clock I said, do you know who this is? And they went, no. I said, well, that's going to blow the whole sermon. No, this is Thor. He is superhero extraordinaire. I went on, yes, the superhero database website. There is such a thing as the superhero database website. They're very serious about it. And they said that Thor has the greatest superpower of everybody. And there's a lot to choose from, right? There's a lot of superheroes out there. But Thor has the biggest one because he has this coveted ability. Thor has the ability to control electricity. He has this hammer. This golden hammer, it's got a name. I don't know what it is. I can't pronounce it, but it is a powerful hammer. And when Thor has this hammer, he can do amazing things with it. He can put the hammer up and the lightning bolt comes into the hammer. He can pick up a power line and he can resupply New York City completely with power. Like, it's remarkable. He also takes his hammer, if you've watched the movies or read the comic books, he lifts it up to heaven and there a hole opens up in the sky and people can move from one world to the next. It's remarkable what he can do. But what's even more remarkable about this is Thor, superhero extraordinaire, gets into trouble. He runs out of power. If you've watched the movies or read the books, there are times when Thor doesn't have enough in him to do anything. He's weak. We all search for power, right? If you go, a lot of restaurants have this now, shopping malls have this, airports have it, a lot of places. You can take your phone or your tablet or even your computer and your plug, and you can plug into it, and you can recharge, you can get more power. Because we're always looking for more power, right? So I don't know if you've ever been this person. I confess this person. I'm at the airport. I'm some airport somewhere in the world, and I've got like one bar on my phone. And I'm like, I can't get on the plane with no power. I need it because it's going to entertain me during the long flight. And so I'm walking around the airport, and I'm looking for the open outlet. Have you ever done this? You're walking down, and you're looking around, and you can tell where the outlets are because people are clumped around them. And they're often sitting on the floor, and they're like, and then you're just waiting for you to pull your cord out, and I can plug my cord in, right? Their fights have broken out in airports. We search for this power, and we want it. We it's just like we really need this power, and so we're searching and searching, and people look for power in a lot of ways, in a lot of places. Picture the actors. New York City, it's a Broadway play. They're on Broadway, right? That's what you aspire to as an actor. They're in the middle of their play. It's called The Hand of God. And some young man in the audience suddenly decides he needs power. I don't know what caused this in the middle of it, but the actors are doing their thing, but they notice something's odd. And out of the corner of their eye, they catch this guy with his phone and his power cord, and he is climbing onto the stage. This is in the news. There's a video of it. You can see it. He's climbing onto the stage, and over in the corner of the set, there is an outlet, and he's trying to plug into the outlet, only you know what the problem is? It's make-believe, because it's the theater, so it's not real. I can't imagine those actors. They stopped the play. Like, what can you do? And there's a video on somebody's phone, and the guy's saying, this is unreal. I can't believe he's doing this. He was desperate for power. He wanted to be fully recharged. He wanted to be ready for whatever was coming. Have you ever been that guy? Looking for power, trying to plug in, trying to get a few more bars. I have. And not just in airports. I need it for my soul. Sometimes I get so weary. I just get so tired, and I turn on the news, and it just makes me weary. Another disaster. I get a phone call. Another friend has cancer. Or my own sinfulness. It's like, will I never get it right? I just get weary, and I am in such need of a recharge, such need of more power. And the problem is, when I get like this, I look for it anywhere. I'll plug into anything, and then these voices start, and these voices are saying, you're not good enough, you're not strong enough, you're not smart enough, you're not something enough. And these other voices say, come on, I can give you power. I can give you power. Plug into me. But they're not real. We need real power, not power like the set. I'm not the first person to feel like that. Back in the early church, that's what they were feeling. That's what they were feeling at this time. That's who Paul's talking to. The early church was in trouble. The heyday is done. The honeymoon is over, as they say, and they are beginning to listen to other voices besides Jesus' voice. Outside influences are starting to creep in. They need a greater supply of power. You remember what's happening in the early church at this time. Persecution is starting, like real persecution. This isn't a little bit of needling. This is people being taken away to prison, people being beaten, people being killed. The Roman government is coming down on them. The Jewish leaders have now realized this is not good for the Jewish faith. And paganism, it is everywhere for them. And they're in trouble, and they don't have enough power, and they don't know what to hold on to. And they feel weak. And they feel like they want something more, but they don't quite know how to do it. And all of these other voices are getting so loud in their head. And it is into this moment that Paul's letter comes. Picture it. They're in a house, probably, and they're talking, and they're just tired. And then somebody comes in and says, I have a new letter from Paul. And they open this letter, and it's written by Paul or someone writing on Paul's behalf. And into the midst of their weakness, this letter comes. And it's a little burst of power. Because what Paul knew that they would feel weak. Paul's in prison. You remember, Paul's in prison at this time. Paul is literally chained for the gospel. And yet, from his space of being literally chained up for the gospel, he thinks, oh, they're going to need help. They're going to need a source of power, and I know how to help them. These chains don't mean anything to Paul. Paul's like, chain me up. I don't care. It doesn't take away the power that I know, and he wants to share that with these Christians, with Timothy and his congregation. And so he sends this letter. And it's the first line of our text today. It says, remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, a descendant of David. That is my gospel. The trouble is, when we read letters, we tend to read it like, remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, a descendant of David. That is my gospel. And it's nice. But listen, whenever you see the words, raised from the dead, can I encourage you to stop and think about what that means? Would you read this with me? Remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, a descendant of David. That is my gospel. That's what Paul is sending to them. This is no soft platitude of a tame God. This God does what no other God could do. Jesus Christ shattered the chains of death. He died on a cross. The Romans said, he's dead, take him off the cross. The Jewish leader said, thank goodness, he's finally dead. The disciples knew he was dead. They lifted his lifeless body off the cross, put it into the arms of his mother. She held him, and they wept. And then because he was lifeless, there was nothing left, they put him in a tomb, and they closed it up because all life was gone. There was no power left. They didn't have anything that they could tap into. They thought that it was the end of everything. And they are feeling completely depleted, completely drained, completely weary, and completely sad. Remember, Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, he is the power. He doesn't need to be recharged or revived or revitalized. He is the power. As Christians, we have this tendency to focus on Christ on the cross and on our sinfulness and on the pain and suffering of that day, which is important. Christ did go to the cross out of love for us. He was nailed to a cross. He suffered and he died on a cross. And we remember that great and deep love that Christ had for us. But after he was on the cross, after he was in the tomb, he was raised from the dead. He conquered death. He was victorious. That's atonement, or being one with God. Jesus Christ made it possible for us to be one with God. It's atonement. You can look at it like this, at one-ment. You kind of break it up and do a little play on the word, but it reminds you, we are one with God through Jesus Christ. That's atonement. And this type of atonement is called something. It's called Christus Victor, Christ victorious. And when you're feeling weak and when you're feeling out of power, this is what you can hold on to, Christus Victor. You sing about it. You sang about it this morning in the songs that Megan chose for us. When you sing words like mighty to save, raised from the dead, defeated death, all powerful, broke the chains, Christus Victor. That's what we're singing. And that's what those disciples needed to learn in the early church. They'd kind of forgotten it. God gave life where there was no life. It was completely dead. This was this critical message for the low energy, one bar moments of the early church. People are living in these trying times. They needed to remember Christ's victory even over death. He had power not only to battle sin and evil, but to overcome them. Christus Victor means we take all of that story, we take the suffering and the death and the resurrection all together. It is one package, and this is God's victory over the powers of sin and evil. Adam Hamilton writes of this, and he likens it to God in a boxing match. And there's the boxing ring, right? And sin and evil are in it. And sin and evil always win. Every single time they win. There are times when it's like they might get a little bit beaten up, but they always win, and God steps into this ring. And the people around it, they're like, he can't do it. Like, it's not possible. And they're feeling sad, and they're feeling despairing, and they think, once again, it's not going to work. Sin and evil always win. And then it is in that moment when all hope is gone, everything seems to be lost, and then Christ bursts out of the tomb, and he's got his arms raised, and he says, God is not dead, he is alive, and Christ is victorious. That's the power that we can hold on to. When you are weary, when you are sad, when you are feeling so depleted, remember Christus Victor. Christ is victorious. Timothy and his congregation needed it. They were so fatigued. They had seen friends choosing paganism over Christ, loved ones being singled out for punishment simply for being a Christian. The rule of Rome was like a heavy hand on their shoulder. Death, disaster, and disease were all around them. And the world has not changed so much. Sometimes I feel so tired. Sometimes I feel, can you put the picture of that phone up on the screen? Sometimes I feel like this. Like he's plugged in, but that's not gonna do anything. There is nothing left. And I think, I can't recharge, I can't get any more, I can't come back from this, can I? This is the moment that Christ speaks into. When all hope is lost, when everything seems dead, Paul speaks the good news of the gospel. Remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, a descendant of David. That is my gospel. That is my absolute truth. Jesus still steps into the arena for us. We don't have to be our own power. Our power is not in our own ability. It is found in Christ. I imagine you are like me and you have one bar moments. And you're tired, and that power is just eking out of you, slipping out of you. Here's something I want you to consider. You cannot be your own charging station. It simply won't work. You should take care of yourself. You should take care of the body. You should go on vacation and rest. You should observe the Sabbath. You should exercise. Those are all important things to do, but even that won't overcome your power deficit. Many of us think that we can eke out just a little bit more out of our days, just a little bit more. If we make enough lists, if we go to enough meetings, if we get enough done, we can get a little bit more, and we have this temporary power supply that we plug into, but eventually that ends. Eventually it becomes depleted. In order to be fully charged, we need to plug into Jesus. The source of our power is our relationship with Jesus. We need to spend time with Jesus. We need to have a little talk with Jesus. But where? How do you do it? Where do you tap into it? In this world, where do you tap into it? Here's what you all know. Worship. One of the places that you can tap into that power of Christ is coming to worship. Because something happens in this room, whether it's during the music or during the prayer or during a handshake, something happens in this room, and there's power. Did you know that every Sunday morning, about 7:30 in the morning, a congregation member comes and prays for you? They come and they pray for your pastors and they pray for the leaders of worship and they pray for each of you that as you come into this space, you might experience the blessing of the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit might work within you and recharge you and remind you who your center is. There's power in worship. There's power in community, not just this community of church, but community outside of here. Find community. It might be a group of guys who get together to play cards, and they play cards and they talk about Jesus. It might be a group of young moms who get together and they talk about raising kids and the challenges of that, and they talk about how Christ helps them. It might be a Bible study. It might be a support group. Do you know your church has a lot of support groups? We offer Celebrate Recovery. We offer AA. We offer divorce care. We offer a grief group. And we just started this past week the Karen group. The Karen group is for parents of kids who deal with drug addiction. You know how many people came? 40. 40 people showed up because they need community. They need some power. They need to recharge. And when they come together, when they come in that room, and they talk to one another, and they turn to that higher power, the power of Christ, they are stronger. When you show up in these places, you will find power. Sometimes you need more than an hour or more than, you know, a couple minutes. Sometimes you need a big recharge, like you are seriously depleted. You're almost like that phone, and you need a serious recharge. This coming Saturday, women, this is for women. Men, listen too. This is for women because there is a retreat. Kelly Johnson is offering this retreat called Being Brave. And some of the women in the room right now are thinking, I can't do that. I'd like to. I'm tired. I'm tired of working. I'm tired of working at home. I'm tired of keeping everything organized and straight. And there's just so much to do. And I'm tired. And some of you are feeling that little prick of tears in the back of your eyes. That's Jesus saying, you should sign up for this. And then you're going to say, I'm too busy. Look at my phone. It's full, schedules, list to do. I've got to get this here and there. And can I ask you for one day to put it down and spend some time with Jesus? Husbands, some of you think I'm talking about your wife right now, and I am. Give her the gift of a day and offer it to her because she's not going to ask. Just say, hey, why don't you take the day and go spend time with Christ? And then, wives, after you're recharged, figure out how you're going to offer that to your husband. Men, you need to find places to recharge as well. Because when you do, you're stronger and you can face all that the world has to offer us. In order to live in this world and to function fully in this world, we need to be fully charged. Several years ago, it was popular in Christian circles to ask, what would Jesus do? Do you remember this, WWJD? It was everywhere. My kids had slap bracelets on, WWJD. And it's a good question, what would Jesus do? But the trouble is, so many of us were doing, we got tired, and we were weary. And the problem is, you can't do what Jesus does unless you know who Jesus is. That Jesus is your source of power, and unless Christ is at the center of who you are, you can do, and all it will do is make you tired. Friends, tap into that source. Tap into that power. Christ came out with arms raised, victorious. He conquered death. He conquered sin. He can do anything if you will just ask him and if you will just tap into that and trust each faithful step that Christ is with you. Spend time with Jesus. Now, some of you are thinking, that's great. That's a really good idea. I need to spend time with Jesus. But I know what happens because this is what happens to me. I walk out of here and I think, I'm going to do it. And then I walk out and I get to my car and the events of the day overcome me. And then it's nighttime and I'm laying down and I'm going to sleep and I thought, oh yeah, I was going to spend time with Jesus, but now I'm really too tired to get it, too tired to do that. So here's what we're going to do this morning. Megan, come on up. Megan's going to sing a song called Jesus at the Center. While she sings that, I invite us to pray. I invite you to close your eyes. I invite you to take your hands. Are you ready? And turn them like this and just lay them on your lap. If you want, you can lift them up, but just do this. Because when you pray, when your open posture, what you are saying with your mind, your body, and your spirit is, Jesus Christ, I need you in my life. Please come. So she's going to sing. And after she finishes singing, I'll pray and I'll close this out.
Jesus at the center of it all. Jesus at the center of it all. From beginning to the end, it will always be, it's always been you, Jesus. Jesus. Jesus at the center of it all. Jesus at the center of it all. From beginning to the end, it will always be, it's always been you, Jesus. Jesus, nothing else matters. Jesus, you're the center. Everything revolves around you, Jesus, you. Jesus, be the center of my life. Jesus, be the center of my life. From beginning to the end, it will always be, it's always been you, Jesus. Jesus, nothing else matters. Nothing in this world will do. Jesus, you're the center. Everything. Jesus, you, nothing else matters, nothing in this world will do. Jesus, you're the center, everything revolves around you, Jesus.
Holy God, holy God, help us be open to you. Help us be aware of who you are and play this refrain in our heads over and over. Jesus, be the center of my life. Everything revolves around you, Jesus, you. We often need such repetition in our life because we get so caught up in everything that's happening around us. So God, remind us that you are enough. You are the power source. Remind us of this when we are weary, when we are tired, when one more thing seems to go wrong. You are enough. Holy God, I pray this for all of us here today, and I pray that this would be our song this week, that you would be the center of our lives. And I prayed in the name, in the strong and powerful name of Jesus Christ. Amen.